Every night, I dream the same dream. And then, the nightmare begins.
Welcome back, everybody, to our sixth episode of our Tickets for Two podcast, where we aim to provide our unique insights on films and possibly TV shows. And today we are talking about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
In this movie, Dr. Stephen Strange casts a forbidden spell that opens a portal to the multiverse. However, a threat emerges that may be too big for his team to handle. Both Andrew and I just saw this movie over the weekend, and as typically we do with Marvel movies, we really enjoyed it. We had a good time. Yay, Marvel!
Woo!
But ultimately, due to a weak script and feeling a bit all over the place, it ends up a bit in the middle of the pack. And we ask ourselves the question, could this have been a lot more than what we got? That's about where we stand with our spoiler-free thoughts. If you want more on our spoiler-free discussion, it's on our Instagram page. But let's be honest, if you're listening to this, you've probably seen the movie, so we're going right into spoilers. There's so much to discuss with this film, because this isn't a normal film. We're not talking about something like The Northman or Everything Everywhere All at Once, where it's just the movie itself. When you talk about a Marvel movie, you have to talk about all the MCU. You have to talk about the story, the TV shows, how it's all connected. It's graded and discussed a little bit differently than every single movie, so that's why we want to make sure we have enough and adequate time to talk about every single detail in this movie. Andrew, let's get right into it. I know you have so much to say about this film. You are our MCU historian. You gotta take us away and then, you know, rant, praise, whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah, no, let's get into it. We'll talk about the film in its entirety first, because then we'll go on talking about like where we think the MCU is going to head from here on out and all the little Easter eggs that we were given. But man, like, I thought this movie was a little bit of a slight disappointment. It wasn't the greatest MCU film. The one thing that I've been hearing and reading about is that people leaving this film, they left feeling like it was okay. You know, we've had Marvel films like, you know, recently, like Thor Ragnarok or even Spider-Man No Way Home, where you leave feeling this sort of excitement and joy and happiness, like you just witnessed something that you never thought could happen, and you kind of leave this film, in my opinion, leaving kind of like it's good. How do you feel about it?
I hate using this word because I'm tired of seeing it, but the best way I can describe it with people's feelings is mid.
Just mid.
I don't think there's anyone out there that loves this movie. It's not bad, but I haven't really talked to anyone or seen anyone's reactions like, oh my god, I loved Multiverse of Madness. It was so good. It was the best Marvel movie. You're either disappointed by this or you saw, oh, it was okay. I had a good time. That's about where I stand too. I like the touches that Sam Raimi put on it. You can tell this had a distinct visual style at times, which is a lot different than Marvel movies typically are. They all usually look the same. So that was nice to see.
Oh yeah.
But the plot and the story and the, you know, pacing and some of the acting was a little all over the place, and I don't think this is just a case of people hyping themselves up after No Way Home. You have to realize the first Doctor Strange was really well received. A lot of people liked it. This was kind of an opportunity for Doctor Strange to really, you know, dig into himself, the character, his motives, what's going on.
So oh, yeah.
While it's a perfectly competent film, I think it's totally fine for people to criticize it for being a disappointment. It's not a matter of hyping yourself up only. You know, the movie, especially with the MCU, you do have to sometimes meet expectations. And in this case, it's not good enough for it to just be, mid-average entry.
I feel like I would have to slightly disagree. I think most of the people who did dislike this film had high expectations for themselves. I was going through TikTok and Instagram, and even way before this movie was released, there was a ton of like fake images out there and edited Photoshop set pictures of like Tom Cruise on set pretending that they're gonna think that he was gonna be the superior Iron Man. Like, no way, man. Like, this was not gonna happen. But for some reason, everybody thought like, no, man, it's gonna happen. It's like, no, stop believing everything you see. And then there was the rumors of of Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man showing up. Like, where would he fit in this movie to begin with? Like, it's cool and all that y'all are trying to bring him back, but you have all this unrealistic expectations that are going to happen. You thought, like, it was going to be an Endgame type of film where everyone starts pouring through portals. Like, no, man. Like, you ruined it for yourself, honestly, to the people who think that this movie didn't reach the level that they wanted. Like, that's your fault. That's your fault.
I actually agree with you there. So, my explanation, I'm thinking more from a film perspective, follow up to Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like how this, how this can be related to his character. Do we get more development from him? Since this is his first solo movie in a while, he's been in featuring in so many films. So I 100% agree with you. People are disliking this movie for the wrong reasons. I haven't been involved in the social media sphere, but I 100% agree, especially with Marvel fans.
Yeah,
they go absolutely crazy. Crazy with expectations.
It's slowly becoming like a toxic fan base nowadays.
Absolutely.
It's kind of sad seeing the turn that it's taken.
Yeah, my disappointment in terms of expectations is more from like a filmmaking process, more from, you know, just the story in general, and not being as messy, being a little more cleaner. I'm saying myself, I enjoyed the film. I just feel like it could have been more. But yeah, people who are disappointed because someone's like, this didn't feel that impactful in the large scheme of things. Like, it's just a movie, okay? It's just a movie. People have been hyping themselves up since No Way Home, thinking it's going to be the next Endgame. I just wanted it to be a better film, no matter what it was about. Even if it was the smallest stakes possible, I just wanted it to be a little bit more clean from a writing and script perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way. Like, there was at times where the dialogue between characters felt very flat. Like, the first scene when Doctor Strange, America Chavez, and Wong are all at a table, it's like, this is such a failed attempt at being, you know, the comedic relief section of the movie.
Yeah.
Because I understand Sam Raimi does want to bring his horror elements to the film, and he wants to get the funny out of the way. Probably, like, Marvel probably instructed him to. Like, hey, you need to include a couple of jokes. Like, don't make it too dark.
Movie wasn't very funny for a Marvel movie. There wasn't
not at
that
all.
Much
and
humor.
I like that. I respect that. I feel like they should make this more in the future. Just a lot less jokes, and there's a lot of teasing out there on the internet of people making fun of Marvel movies of how, like, they always use the same predictable one-liners, and it's like, yeah, we need to stray away from that. Yeah, the quips. We need to stay away from that.
Yeah, that'll start. People always talk about, well, where did it come from? Is it Iron Man super? I think the quip stuff all started from the first Avengers movie.
Oh, with Josh Whedon started that.
Yeah, he had. There were so many quips in that movie, and it was after that movie where they all started feeling similar in terms of how the jokes were. Before that, you know, you kind of had like your Tony Stark humor and all that. But then after the Avengers, it's like everyone had the same freaking jokes. And I agree with you. It was nice that it wasn't, you know, forcefully funny at times. But you mentioned that scene earlier in the diner. For me, the issue with, you know, the scenes like that is that the chemistry between America Chavez, which is the worst superhero name ever.
It's, oh my god! Don't do it.
I haven't heard of it. I haven't read the comics. It just sounds.
I like the name for the record. It's a good name. Right. Attack him, not me.
Yeah, but it for me the issue there is that the chemistry between Doctor Strange and America Chavez, you know what? They get so much screen time together, and you're thinking, okay, is this going to be a movie about Doctor Strange kind of being a parental figure to her, and that sort of thing? But it never fully develops, in my opinion.
It doesn't, and I think that was like those people making kind of a comparison between, Tony Stark and Spider-Man, and this is like Doctor Strange's pretty much Spider-Man, like this is his kid, because towards the end of the film, we hear him say that, like, you know, glad you're here, kid. It's like, that's the same thing that Iron Man would say to Spider-Man, like, you know, kid. That was like their way of showing affection, but I feel there wasn't enough. How we mentioned, like, trauma bonding between the two. Like, sure, like, she's running away and hiding, but neither of them were kind of like in a situation where they needed to like defend each other or help each other too much. Like if we look back, we think of like the Spider-Man and Iron Man type of relationship, how on Infinity War they're on the ship together and they crash and they fought Thanos together, and you know, that sort of thing brought them together as, you know, people. We learned as an audience to see them as, you know, father and son. But in this film, I think they kind of failed on that, making a father-daughter relationship here. I don't know. I don't think they kind of nailed that.
even Iron Man and that kid from Iron Man 3 had better chemistry.
Oh my god! Yeah,
you remember that?
They had I remember chemistry. That kid.
That's not just because of Robert Downey Jr. is acting. Because we know Benedict Cumberbatch is a talented actor. Although Doctor Strange is a little cold, but yeah, their chemistry it wasn't the best.
It could be she was like a 14-year-old actress at the time that they were filming this. So we can't really.
That kid was like 8 years old, and he did fine.
Oh my god! Yeah, okay, you're right. You're right.
I don't even blame the actress. I can't pronounce her name, but. I don't blame her.
Sochi Gomez.
Yeah, I think the if you have good enough writing, it can make up for some bad acting. Yes, could good acting overcome bad writing? Yeah, it could at times. But for me, it's just more okay. If you're gonna have these two be the centerpiece of your movie, it needs to be developed a little bit more. Something interesting that I was just kind of thinking about regarding America Chavez was we heard from the reshoots and everything like that. They were really worried that, hey, people are going to really dislike this character and it would bring the whole movie down. So my interpretation of the opening scene, which is Doctor Strange having the dream, which is actually reality and all that. Yeah, it's a big action scene. It's probably designed to get audiences excited, hooked into the film. But my opinion is that the reason they had that scene crafted that way was because when they showed Doctor Strange try to kill America Chavez in that scene, make you feel bad for her. And when you feel bad for a character, when you're first properly introduced to them, you like them a little bit more. I feel like if she had just shown up, people would be like, and like, you know, because their acting wasn't the best, people would be like, oh, you know, like I'm already annoyed by this, like, you know, kid. But it felt like Rick and Morty.
In what way?
Just like, you know, like two people on like an adventure versus a giant alien.
You know what? If you now that you mention that, if you look at the Rick and Morty opening opening credits when Rick and Morty are like running in that desert, it kind of feels similar to how those two are running on that pillar.
Yeah, Michael Wharton's a Rick and Morty writer, and he wrote Loki. I think he was the lead for that. He wrote this one as well.
What's his name again? The writer?
Michael Waldron.
Yeah, Michael Waldron, he did come out in an interview saying that he was a writer on Loki, that he regrets being so nitpicky on Loki because he was tasked with writing the rules for the multiverse. And he says when he did that in Loki, it kind of restricted him from doing so many things in Doctor Strange. So that's his fault. You know, yeah, he did that on he called that upon himself.
They tasked one person. I thought like... They would have.
Oh no, they had a team on it, but yeah, but he was the lead writer, so pretty much like he was in charge of like what happened, where, and what.
Oh, that's an interesting fact. Yeah,
yeah. But so, what did you think about the villain? I mean, Scarlet Witch. What did you think about making that choice?
So, I'm first thinking about this, and I'm also looking at what people are saying, and kind of getting all that feedback. So, I personally thought like, oh, okay. I thought Wanda was okay, Scarlet Witch. She was just okay. And a lot of people were like, well, this movie should have just been called Scarlet Witch in the Multiverse of Madness. I feel like she's like a main focus of it and it's taking away from Doctor Strange, or it's Doctor Strange versus Scarlet Witch is what it should have been called. So I was just thinking about this before we recorded this. Let me phrase it this way. We complained so many times about not just Marvel movies, but any movie. Oh, the villain's weak, you know, not developed at all. What better villain could we have asked for than Wanda in this? You know, she had an entire series dedicated to her building up this character. It's a character, even if you haven't seen the WandaVision series, you know she's from the other Marvel movies.
Yeah, you know what she
shows
wants.
It shows her motivation. And I'm still not completely convinced by her evil turn. If I remember, she was like remorseful for killing a bunch of people in Civil War or something like that. But in general... what better villain could you ask for than someone we've actually seen developed? Most of the villains are just kind of like, oh, they show up once, oh, now they're gone. This is a villain from, you know, that we've known before. So I thought it worked great. I thought it worked great for the film.
I think it was a good choice to bring Scarlet Witch as the villain. I just really hate, I mean, I'm gonna just go on a little rant on this. I really hate how this whole movie didn't introduce us to anything new in regards to their powers. We saw Wanda use her same little fireball throws, her little, you know, puffballs against everyone else and causing all that destruction. Cool, we've seen it. And then with Doctor Strange and Wong, they use the same whip magic, the shields conjuring, the swords. Nothing was new. And sure, some people are going to be like, oh, what about the beginning when he uses all that magic to grab things? Like, cool, yeah, that was at the beginning for like a second. But I'm talking about in battle, fighting one another. There was nothing cool. Like, if you go to if you watch an Endgame, like the big fight at the end when you see Doctor Strange enter, he used, I forget the name of it. It's called the Icy Tendrils of something. But that was like a brand new magic that we've never seen before. It was really cool to see. And we should have kept getting that.
Is there more in the comics that we haven't seen?
There's so much more. Names of them, I can't really say off the top of my head, but I know so far we've seen the Winds of Wattoom, which is when Doctor Strange was controlling the water in Endgame. We've seen the Crimson Bands of Sidereth, which are the bands that he used to restrain Thanos. We've seen the Ruby Rings of Ragador, which are the shields that Doctor Strange conjures. We've seen all these basic things, and I wish we saw something new, even from Wanda. In WandaVision, if you watch the show, towards the end of it all, she conjures like all these runes to build like a kind of wall around her enemy, and that way she's able to control magic. Like, that's really cool, that concept. And they should have used that more. And I don't know, they really dropped the ball on showing us all these new possibilities that we could see, like this master of mystic arts, this sorcerer supreme. He just felt like he's a freshman in high school kind of magic. Like, anyone could do this. But a thing I also hate is in the movie, it was a very like forced way to call him the master of the mystic arts. Like, when he's like using the Darkhold, and then his love interest,
Rachel McAdams.
Well, yeah, that's the actor's name, but like Christine. Yeah, and Christine is comforting him while he's like, you know, being possessed by demons. She like just forcibly says, "Remember, Steven, you're the master of the mystic arts." Like, oh my god, like, that was so cringy.
Did she say that?
I don't remember. Yeah, she said that. It was so cringy. I wish it was a better way that they could have like introduced him as that kind of person. But I don't know, man. Like, they could have done so much magic wise. They had all the VFX for it, all the possibilities for it, and they gave us the same cookie cutter three spells. I don't know.
Well, I was gonna say it could have been a VFX issue if they had. If they had reshoots, or it's just cheaper to reuse the same special effects, I think the actors are sometimes like taught choreography wise what to do with their hands. Yeah. So maybe they just found it easier, like, hey, let's just all use the same spells. I'm not as familiar with where they can go in the comics with Doctor Strange and his magic, but I think that's an interesting point that I haven't really read about with the critiques of this film. You mentioned that scene at the end with Christine and Doctor Strange when he's doing the sleepwalking thing. He's like, I just thought it was funny because he was like, hey, can you protect me? Okay, I'm going under. And then if she's a normal human, she doesn't have superpowers. Like, he didn't give her any instruction. Like, 2 minutes later, she's like fighting off like these ghost spirits.
Yeah,
it was,
right?
Like, with the giant flamethrower. It was just, that's some of the things I think about. I'm just kind of like, is he gonna tell her like what she needs to do? who is she protecting him from?
Yeah, and there was a lot of moments like that where I felt there was not enough explanation. But I don't know whose fault that is. I mean, I read reports that Sam Raimi had like the perfect cut of a film, and then his best friend Bruce Campbell, who is like in every movie Sam Raimi makes, he also cameoed in this film.
Was he the Minotaur?
No, he was the hot dog seller, the one that at the end he's all like, "It's over." Yeah, that's Bruce Campbell. Yeah, he's like his. Which, fun fact, in Sam Raimi's planned Spider-Man 4, that never happened, was supposed to be released on May 6th of 2011. Which is fun. Another fun fact on fun fact. This movie was released on May 6th, which should have been, you know, the Spider-Man 4's date. But anyways, in that movie, he was going to use Bruce Campbell to be Mysterio as the main villain. Yeah, but Bruce Campbell said in an interview that Marvel intervened and they cut all the best shots that Sam Raimi had for the movie. So I don't believe it for a second.
I believe Marvel's interference, but I don't think there's some secret magical A+ cut out there that's not gonna fix the script.
Not the script, for sure. Yeah, you're totally right about that. And one thing, oh my god, talking about the script, like just dialogue, there's one thing that they cut out of the movie that really got me mad. Like, we could talk about the Illuminati in a second, but I'm gonna bring it up right now. When Doctor Strange first meets the Illuminati, which consists in this movie of Captain Carter, Black Bolt, Captain Marvel, and the amazing John Krasinski as Richard Reed's Fantastic Four. First of all, that's not even supposed to be what the Illuminati is consisted of. The Illuminati is always consisted of Black Bolt, Black Panther, Namor, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, and Professor Xavier. It's had variations over the time, but this was like, I don't know. To bring Captain Carter in, it totally was forced. Cool. It's cool. I love Haley Atwell.
Probably from What If, right?
Yeah, they brought in for What If. So now we always knew What If was canon, but it was pretty cool they brought her in. I love Haley Atwell, but I don't think they should have brought in Captain Carter. But at the same time, what can you do?
You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Oh my god, yeah. With knowing her death. But let me go back to the point I was trying to make. When Doctor Strange meets the Illuminati, John Krasinski's Richard Reeds of the Fantastic Four, he mentions to Doctor Strange that he is the biggest threat of the multiverse because Doctor Strange confessed to Richard Reeds that he said that things got out of hand and he took control of the Darkhold, and that's when Richard Reeds knew he was a problem. And that would have been a perfect time to remember that in the trailers of this movie, if you look back at the first trailer of this film, when Doctor Strange meets his evil self, he says in the trailer, like, things just got out of hand. That's exactly what Richard Reeds was referring to, but they cut that line out of the movie. And that completely throws it off. Like, that's the whole point why Richard Reeds brought it up, so that we can later on hear it from himself. And I don't know what person at Marvel thought that was a good idea to get rid of, because that was a perfect time to reference it. But I don't know. That really bothered me. It's like, you had a perfect time to reference the same exact time that Richard Reeds thought Doctor Strange was the threat to the multiverse, and you cut it out. Why? Why? I don't know. Go, take it away. Like, I'm heated now. Take it away.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like their interaction with each other was cut short. Funny enough, when I watched that scene and the Illuminati first came, I thought it was a joke, like a multiverse joke. Like, oh, we'll just name it the Illuminati. People know what that is. I had no idea this was an actual Marvel thing. Black Bolt and the other character who I didn't know who she was, who also died. I think she died last. I thought those were like gimmick characters. I didn't know they were real.
Interesting, really?
I had no idea. I'm like, these people seem like parodies. I thought that scene was great. I think that's around the time when the movie started to get a little bit better. I don't know if that was because America Chavez was locked up and not in any scenes. maybe it was a coincidence. I'm not 100% sure. But I really liked that whole, it was like the boys are invincible, that gruesome fight scene with Wanda, and they just got torn to shreds. That was really cool, and it was really dark. I mean, who hasn't talked about it right now? But Black Bolt's death scene was like, holy shit, they did this in the Marvel movie?
Right, somehow they slipped that through the cracks. I don't know.
Got brain juice.
Marvel would never approve that.
Just dumping around there, yeah. So that, yeah. And like, people didn't like that Wanda's going through, and it's, you know, it's like a horror, she's jump scaring, but it was cool. It was cool. You know, I usually don't applaud movies for doing something different just for the sake of being different, but with Marvel I make an exception because they have to be consistent to a certain degree. So if you compare this film to so many of the other ones that we've seen, there is a different style, there is a different visual style, there's a different way of the way the film is crafted. And I genuinely think, I'm not a Raimi fanboy, but if someone else, like Peyton Reed, directed this film, it would be like it would be like Thor 2. Yeah. It would just be a crappy movie with a crappy like story.
Yeah. Again, I, like you mentioned, the horror aspects that they brought in was pretty interesting. I remember when they first announced this movie back in when they were deciding phase four. So wait, when they announced it, back in before pandemic, Kevin Feige did say on stage at the Disney Expo that this was going to be Marvel's first horror film. And Scott Derrickson took that to heart. At the time, he was going to be the director.
He's a horror director. Before even the first Doctor Strange, Scott Derrickson did a lot of horror.
And he took that to heart. The original plan was going to be he was going to fight Doctor Strange's most iconic first villain, which was Nightmare, which I really wish that was the case. But he was going to fight Nightmare. Clea, was Doctor Strange's future wife, was going to be also a main character, and it was going to have all the aspects of interdimensional horror film that Scott Derrickson always wanted to do. But then we know what happened. Creative differences. He departed. He's still a producer, but not the director. Good thing they brought Sam Raimi.
Not even the writer. Not even a writing credit.
Not even. I mean, kind of shows why. But what I was going to bring up is people were talking a lot of bad things about that Illuminati death scene. Because people people were saying, like, why would Richard Reeves, being the smartest man in the world, why would he give up Black Bolt's, power? And saying, like, it's his mouth, and, she shut his mouth. But, like, people forget, and they need to remember that in this universe, this 828 universe, their Wanda is not this powerful, so they, of course, do not know what her extent is. In this universe, we know that Thanos was killed on his home planet by the Illuminati, so therefore, he never went to Earth to collect the stone from Vision, so therefore Vision's probably still alive. So Wanda never went through her grief. Wanda never had problems. She never seeked out, a fake husband. She never controlled a town. She never went through those traumatic experiences. So in their universe, they don't have a deadly Wanda. So of course Richard Reed's gonna be like, hey, our boy here can probably murder you in a second. So don't try us. But people need to forget that Wanda in their universe is not as threatening. So they didn't know any better. So, of course, that was going to happen. Yeah.
And people overthink that shit all the time. It's like, okay, he just said that, like, hey, one word from Black Bolt and you're finished. It was a threat. Wanda would have messed them up anyway. Also, probably wasn't true. I think Wanda probably could have seen Black Bolt's attack coming. And it doesn't really matter. I think people getting upset about that, that's really nitpicky. That's the point where it's like, I think we're criticizing the wrong things. Is it kind of dumb? It's like, oh, Richard Reeds would never do that. It's like,
yeah,
get a grip. Come on. It's okay.
And it's funny how...
he did.
Yeah. He did. And it's funny how everyone was just standing there watching as Richard Reeds turned into string cheese. Like, why are they all just standing back and letting it happen?
It was hilarious because I thought, like, I'm like, oh, he's going to recover. I'm like, oh, no, that was it. He literally got...
Yeah, he gone.
He went through the shredder.
Which is very interesting that they did that because... I'll go on this. In the in that movie, they mentioned Wanda mentions, like, do you have kids? And so it's confirmed that he has kids with Sue Storm, and one of his kids is Franklin Richards. And now that Reed Richards is dead, we could assume that in the future, and maybe in the Fantastic Four movie, Franklin Richards is going to want to avenge his father's death because he has the power to travel through dimensions as well. He's a mutant. He's a superpowered mutant, and he could travel through dimensions. And
his dad is, or he is?
The kid, Franklin Richards.
Who the hell is that?
That's a Reed Richards' son.
With who?
With Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman.
Is she in a Fantastic Four? Jessica Alba?
Yeah, the old one, Okay. But so people are saying that that's what it's going to lead up to, is Franklin Richards wanting to avenge his father's death. And I feel like everyone's going to. Like, think about it. We are now entered in that period where Black Bolt's dead, with the leader of the Inhumans.
Era.
And then all the Inhumans are going to want justice for Black Bolt's death. Professor Xavier's dead. I'm pretty sure all the X-Men are going to want, revenge on his death. Captain Marvel dead. Obviously, Reed Richards. Everyone's going to want to avenge their leader's death.
That was disrespectful, by the way. Xavier and Professor X. Yeah, Professor X's death was disrespectful.
The way they killed him?
Just killing him. You don't bring Patrick Stewart, who has been in X-Men movie since 2002. You don't do him like that. I thought it was like, oh, cool, Patrick Stewart is here. The X-Men are here. Awesome. We got this, all this stuff clashing. It's like, no, it's just a cameo. You're going to do him like that? You're going to snap his head? That was disrespectful. I genuinely, was disrespected at that scene. I almost, left. I was like, that's just too much. You want to kill the guy from The Office? I don't give a shit. But don't do Patrick Stewart like that. Especially not even in his movie, as a cameo. Like, come on.
But how amazing was it to hear the original X-Men theme song as he was rolling out?
That was cool. People thought it was cheesy, but it was fucking awesome.
That was so cool. Great. Me and my brother were so hyped up when we first heard that come in. Like, oh, that was so nice.
That was my most, fanboy hype moment in terms of fan service. That was the scene where I was just like, oh, this is awesome. But then it just, they all died.
But so that's the Illuminati in a quick little nutshell. But what I had another problem was with the big fight scene, or not the big one, I guess second to the big one, was when Doctor Strange was fighting his evil self, Sinister Strange is what they call him. When they were fighting him, I thought it was so boring how they were just standing there in the same place, just playing a game of ping pong back and forth with music notes.
I love the music scene.
Oh my god, people online were raving about it, like, oh, it was such a cool way to use it, you know, your surroundings and using magic. But like, come on, you know.
I saw the opposite reaction. I thought people hated it online.
Maybe we saw different things, but you had the opportunity of the Sorcerer Supreme, Master of Magic here, going against the evil self who has the Darkhold, you know, also super powerful, and they end up playing a game of catch. Like, no, man, like, come on. Like, you had the perfect opportunity to make a huge, amazing spectacle, and you blew it.
They're saving it. They're probably saving it for another one. Look, the way I see it, sometimes less could be more, because I kind of interpret it as you have these two incredible sorcerers who can throw planets at each other or whatever they can do. And instead, you know, because Strange started with like the piano notes, which I love the way they introduced that, is like he got kind of hit and then he fell on the piano and his hand slammed it. You hear the keys play and it cued right into that musical scene. As soon as that happened, I'm like, oh, I hope they do like a music battle. And they did. I think it was like, oh, here's these two powerful beings. But instead, they're fighting with tiny musical notes, and it's a very focused, concentrated battle where, like, any tiny mistake, and, you know, they're going to get nuked. It could have been an opportunity for something a lot more visually spectacle on the you know, big screen, but I thought it was really cool.
They might as well have just had an air guitar battle. It was not my favorite thing in the world to see, but... That really let me down, because I was expecting, from what you see in the trailer, you know, you see the big baddie, and I'm pretty sure we remember, if you saw the What If episode 4, what if Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands, you would see that he turns extremely evil for the sake of Christine. And in the What If episode, he has all kinds of incredible powers. The demons he could unleash, the weaponry that he could conjure, like, that's what I was expecting to see, is this What If type of evil character brought up into live action. But yeah, we didn't get
probably with that's the only episode of What If I saw, and only because you told me to. But I'm thinking I'm thinking with his powers, it's just easier to translate. It's animated. Probably just the budget fit in better with that, where with a movie with the reshoots and you got a much more tighter schedule, it could be a little harder. I remember that What If episode and the concept behind it. I loved it. It got a little, you know, confusing towards the middle and end, but just this whole he's trying to save Christine over and over and over again, I thought was really cool.
Oh, you mean the What If episode?
Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I love how
I thought it was better than this movie's, like, main story. In this movie, it's really simple.
Exactly.
There's someone who has the ability to go from multiverse to multiverse. And Wanda wants to take her power in order to see her kids and be with her kids. But Doctor Strange and Wong and everyone else think that, hey, she shouldn't be able to have such great powers. It's too much for someone to, you know, have on their own. And, you know, she's evil. She shouldn't have it. It's not that interesting. Also, not to get too off topic, but America Chavez, we see this scene in the flashback when she loses her mom's.
Oh yeah,
she was like a kid in that scene. I assume it's been like 10 years. Has she just not managed to control her powers for 10 years? It took one, you know, line from Doctor Strange to kind of ape it under control. Has she just been universe hoping for 10 years?
It's kind of crazy. And I thought I was nitpicky. Like that is.
It's not nitpicky. It's fair. It's a fair thing to think about.
No, you're right. You're right. It is a fair.
No, like, it's pretty nitpicky.
No, like, what was she doing? Like, what did she not take those time, you know, to learn about her powers? But no, you're right. But like, what I love is how this movie did reference the What If episode. In the What If episode, we see Doctor Strange try to find a way to save Christine and, like, find a way to always be with her. But we know in the episode that there's no universe out there where he can save her or be with her. And we learn about that in this movie where they mention the same thing. We're like, oh, there's no universe where you're with Christine. And it's like, that gave me the flashback where that doesn't happen. And it's like, okay, I see. Like, there's a parallel going on here where, you know, Doctor Strange is never meant to be, you know, with her.
They were great, though. I thought their scenes were some of my favorite in the movie.
That's why I really wish this was a Strange focused movie and not all this other, you know, gibberish. Because if we did focus on like Strange and Christine, oh, the possibilities we could have had. But
yeah, that's our main criticism is. This should have just, because you hear the title, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. It should have just been Strange tripping balls for like 2 hours. That's all it should have been. He effed up. He opened up the multiverse and Spider-Man, and then he like goes and investigates something. Like there's a special power somewhere. He's like, I got to go investigate this. Wong's like, go check that out. He's like, all right, I'm going to go check it out. And then he just ends up like falling through multiverses and dealing with all this crazy stuff and going through. It should have just been a very personal film with some striking visuals. And touching a little bit more on the mysticism that we saw, which I like the horror stuff, but I really miss that kind of spiritual side we saw in the first Doctor Strange movie.
Oh my god, yeah, definitely.
Because he's cock. You know what I like about Doctor Strange is he's not like the other Avengers. Tony Stark was a cocky but funny guy, but Doctor Strange is actually cocky.
Arrogant.
He actually thinks he's the shit. So it would be really cool to get more of that, because what we saw in the first one, it was him kind of becoming more humble, having that spiritual awakening, and kind of following up on that would have been really neat. And I think, you know, ultimately this movie is basically just a movie. It's an entry. Perfectly fine, perfectly competent, enjoyable, entertaining, a lot of cool Easter eggs. But again, as we mentioned, it could have been just so much deeper, especially because most of the Marvel sequels are better than the first one.
Yeah, and then the only times, like you mentioned, like this was, you know, the title of the film, Multiverse of Madness, but the only time that they're in other multiverses, they're just walking around, you know, like talking to each other or like, you know, looking at their surroundings, like, where's the madness?
It was not that mad. Everything Everywhere All at Once did it way better multiverse.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know
what was mad about it. They went to New York and it's just like, it's New York, but a little more futuristic and there's more greenery.
And then the red light, green light situation, like, oh my god, do we really need that?
But the first scene was the most mad multiverse scene. That was what I was hoping most of the movie would look like.
Let's talk about that. That stupid Book of Ashanti that was totally unnecessary. The whole movie was focused and surrounded around this pretty much holy Bible. And the moment they grab it...
What's the Book of Ashanti?
Have they mentioned in the film, like, the Book of Ashanti is...
I just don't... What was it? Like, is it, like, a counter to the Dark... First, Darkhold, another...
Yeah. Oh,
it's such a stupid name.
Yeah, the Darkhold. Like, I think, like Mordo said, it's the antithesis of the Darkhold. Like, it's just, like, the all-holy goodness book.
So it is. You got Bible, you got Satanic book, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so stupid how when they finally reached it, it just... Wanda just burns it. Like, oh my god, we went through, like, 45 to an hour-long movie... Just so they could like burn the book the moment he touches it. Like, at least open it, read it, see something about it. But they led us into this one giant chase.
It's too powerful. Andrew, it's too powerful for it to be in anyone's hands.
Man, it was just lame.
Wong, I like Wong a lot, but I thought it was pretty weak when he, four people who I think were already dead, started being tortured or something, and then he's like, all right, I'll take you to the Darkhold. I was like that's all it took. It was a couple threw them up and down a couple of times. But I guess that's, you know, Captain America's always like, hey, we don't trade lives for lives, you know.
Oh, that's true. Good callback. But we could talk about the post-credit scene. I don't know how much you know about it.
Well, you told me all about it.
Yeah. When we see, one thing that's surprising, though, first of all, before we get into that, is how, what Doctor Strange do we have here? Like, when you think about it, so when he's in that universe where he's with Sinister Strange, he throws him out the window. You know, he gets impaled by the fence, which was like so shocking to see by a Marvel film. But we see the third eye open. We see that.
Bad CGI,
So he didn't die. Bad CGI. But at the end of the film, as Doctor Strange is walking on the crosswalk and he has like that pain, his third eye opens. So what really happened? So we know that...
They swapped places.
I don't know. I do not believe that.
The real Strange is dead, is now a bad guy.
I do not believe that. But what we do know is that in the first Doctor Strange movie, the Ancient One told him that he needs to one day open his eye. And she touches that part in the forehead.
Did she? Yeah.
Yeah. So you become like this all powerful like you ascend to a whole nother, you know, level. And so how did he get to open his third eye? Did he finally come to like some sort of, you know, peace with himself? Did he reach like an internal nirvana that he finally was like able to open his own? Yeah,
I think it just, I kind of liked how it happened. He wasn't expected. That was actually a cool way to end it. He's like hearing all these noises, like, and then his third eye opens. I don't think it was planned, but it's a good question. Why did it happen? Did he reach an epiphany? Did he grow as a character? I didn't see him grow as a character unless I missed something.
So what I think is, so if we look at the concepts of like, you know, who could lift Mjolnir, you know, Thor's hammer, you know, Steve Rogers was able to lift it after he confessed to Tony Stark that the secret he was holding was that Bucky killed his parents. So after he, you know, was able to release himself of that internal struggle, he was able to be worthy of lifting the hammer. I feel that now that Doctor Strange has come to the realization that he will never be with Christine, I think that finally lifted him up from his internal struggle, and now he could finally be like at his internal peace, and that's probably what, you know, allowed him to open up his third eye.
Yeah, now he can kind of focus on being a monk. Because monks take vows of chastity. They don't want to be with anyone. They only want to focus on their religion. So in this case, it's Doctor Strange could just be focusing on, you know, all his studies at the university and all that sort of thing. I was going to ask you, America Chavez.
Oh,
here's my hot take.
Oh,
I like the character. Didn't like how they were written. I think the actress, yeah, she'll learn. She'll be fine. I wouldn't be surprised if due to some negative feedback that she just kind of disappears into that academy.
We just don't really see her again. Just one of those characters, like how you mentioned Iron Man 3, that kid. He was supposed to be probably something important, but he kind of like just drifted off.
Maybe. Well, I think that kid was supposed to be unimportant, but then people started liking him.
In this case, I don't know. He came back Marvel in Endgame. Plays this.
What happened? Oh, yeah. That was at the funeral, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of shelve America Chavez. Or maybe she'll appear in one of the Disney Plus shows or something like that. Just from what we heard from the reshoots, and they had to reshoot some of her scenes. I've heard that the actress has gotten some hate for her costume and everything like that. Really unfortunate. That's not what it should be for, but I think people just weren't as interested in the character.
Yeah, I think she should have her own Disney Plus shows.
That would be a lot of fun.
I wouldn't mind that either. But here, let's go back to like what I was going to talk about, the end credit scene. Where we're going to lead up to. This is the cool part about where this movie ends up. Again, my main problem is that Marvel always uses Doctor Strange as like a pivot for anything they want to do. Like, they kind of don't focus on him as a character. They kind of just use him. He's a side character. Yeah, I kind of hate that.
The disrespect.
Disrespectful Marvel. Come on. The cool thing, though, end credit scene, we see that woman in purple show up to Steven, and we know that that woman is Clea, who is Doctor Strange in the comics, Doctor Strange's future wife.
She's also Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron, yeah. It's funny because in the film, in Doctor Strange, when he's talking to Christine about, like, you know, I love you, which, oh, by the way, when he says I love you in every universe, that got to me. I was like,
That was cute.
The feels are rolling. But Christine tells Doctor Strange, like, hey, you need a, like, your problem is that you need to face your fears. And at the end of the movie, in the end credits scene, when Clea shows up, she says to Doctor Strange, like, you caused an incursion. You got to come with me. Or are you afraid? And I love that little callback of, like, Doctor Strange is like, yep, no longer afraid. But that's the cool thing of what we're going in. So we're going into an incursion, as Clea mentioned, that Doctor Strange calls an incursion.
Can you define for me what the incursion
is? Yeah, an incursion is...
What does that mean? What did he cause?
Yeah, he caused two worlds or two universes colliding into one. And we learned in the movie that when two universes collide, only one survives or both are destroyed. And that leads up to the most anticipated comic book story event, Secret Wars. And people are already all over it right now, talking about that this is what we're leading up to. Because Secret Wars in the comics is when Reed Richards, Iron Man, Captain America, Doctor Doom, which we know is in Fantastic Four, all these characters end up fighting themselves in another universe because of an omnipotent alien race called the Beyonders. They notice and take notice of Earth, and they're like, oh, let's pit them against each other. But I think, you know, to adapt to the MCU, I think Doctor Strange caused this, and we're going to get all these universes colliding from all from everywhere else. Like, all the Spider-Mans are going to come back together, you know, maybe other Fantastic Four people, you know, Captain America's, all this, all that. We're going to get all these universes come together and fight each other. And we already have the Russo brothers, who directed Endgame and Infinity War. They've already taken a huge interest in saying that the one film they'll come back to direct is Secret Wars. So, really? We hope that happens, but that's essentially where we're leading up to. It's completely, completely evident with all the proof we have. This is not a fan theory. This is not any random thing.
We don't do fan theories on this show.
No, we don't do that clickbait stuff. You're going to get actual proof from actual Marvel films in this. We're not going to tell you Tom Cruise is coming because that was a fake thing. But
that's a Secret Wars has got to be far out, though.
Oh, yeah, we got to wait till after Fantastic Four, which I think Fantastic Four doesn't come out to like 2025 or something like that.
Oh, no, it's sooner. I think it's next year.
Really? No.
Or 24. I think it's next year or 24.
It should be 24, the earliest.
I'll check that up right now, but I think it's sooner than we think. But with the Secret Wars? So that's the heroes are fighting each. The heroes from different universes are basically fighting each other.
Yeah, to protect their own world. Yeah, and then in the comics, Earth-616 comes out victorious thanks to the help of Doctor Doom, who ends up helping the heroes. But we'll see how they kind of adapt that storyline, because we know that Marvel kind of adapts it to their own timeline. We remember Civil War. Civil War was, just in name, adapted to the film. It wasn't really, page by page in the comics. So we'll see how they adapt Secret Wars, but we could see it right away. That's where we're going to. Thanks to Doctor Strange, and all because he was texting and driving in 2016, he now has to deal with an entire multiversal war.
Yeah, I mean, he might have just died, though, just randomly in one of these. Sometimes I think about these big fights they have in the movies, the one where they were trying to save America Chavez, the first modern day scene they had, not the dream sequence. Yeah. And it's just like this monster's octopus is just slamming into the walls everywhere. And I'm like, holy shit, who's paying for this? think about it. Like, I saw this one lady is like with her baby. She was like running or screaming. I'm like, are people just like tired of dealing with this shit? Like every day you wake up, it's like, all right, I'm gonna go get some coffee from Noah's Bagels or something. Yeah. Oh my god, alien attack again, running for my life. Like, it's like, especially are they in New York?
Yeah, they're in New York.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's the fifth time this week I almost died. Nothing interesting else happened at work, honey, just that. I just feel like sometimes I know you're talking about the Secret War stuff, but I just want to say I hated that transition. I was enjoying the wedding scene. It was a personal moment for Doctor Strange. He was having an interesting conversation with Christine. And then, what's that noise? Oh, let's run outside. Big CGI battle. Here we come. And it's like, oh my god. Like, why does it always have to be some huge battle scene? And like, and I'm genuinely wondering, like, are Strange and Wong actually struggling fighting this octopus guy? I feel like they're toying with him. It's like, you guys fought Thanos. Just get rid of this guy like in 8 seconds. You need to cause this much destruction in New York City just to save this girl. You should be able to get rid of this octopus dude like in 8 seconds. It's always got to be some big battle, and it's like, I thought you guys were strong. Just deal with this. It should be seconds. I had to go off that tangent there. Secret Wars, I just looked it up. Sounds really interesting. My prediction, though, is it's going to be far out. I think it's going to be a little bit more
further out.
Yeah, if it's such a big deal, they're probably going to save it. They already hinted at Kang the Conqueror in Loki, so I don't know if he's going to come first or what's going on. A lot of people right now are a little confused with Phase 4. I am one of those people. There's a lot of criticism kind of going on. Like, hey, we feel a little lost. I'm going to say this. Trust the process. Okay, if you want to criticize the films individually, I think that's totally fine. But the overall direction with the multiverse and all the shows, yeah, it feels a little sloppy, but trust the vision. I think if we remember originally, when the first Marvel movies were coming out, we just kind of went to the theater and enjoyed them. Thanos wasn't even mentioned until way further in. We didn't even see him until way further after that. And then we saw how it ended so beautifully with Infinity War and Endgame. So I think we should trust the vision of Feige and the folks at Marvel. They've clearly crafted a story out. But again, I'm open to criticism on the individual films. I just think we need to give it more of a chance to develop. This is only the first phase, right? After Endgame. So let's give it a shot.
Yeah, we'll give it time. I personally don't know what they're going to do with, you know, Eternals and all that. But
yeah, I got a couple more points to make
before
we wrap
up. Go for it.
Karen line of the year in this movie has to be, "I'm not a monster, I'm a mother." It sounds like something you'd hear at Kohl's while trying to get some jeans. You're waiting, the person in front of you, she's like trying to return something, and the cashier is like, "Hey, listen, it's been like 3 years since you bought these, I can't return them." "I'm not a monster, I'm a mother. You're gonna take these jeans back." First note. Second note, I mentioned earlier the Minotaur at the Hogwarts, that guy.
Yeah.
Why is he there? Why is everyone else human and there's only one non-human person there?
Yeah,
it was cool, but it was kind of out of place. Like, you would think there'd be more magical creatures and beasts there. So I don't know.
Let me answer that real quick. Let me answer that, like, in 5 seconds. So that Minotaur, I forgot his name. It's so stupid that they messed this up in the movie. That Minotaur is Doctor Strange's repairman. Anything that Doctor Strange ever needs fixed, that Minotaur knows how to fix it.
Okay.
In the comics, whenever Doctor Strange has his cloak ripped or broken, he always sews it back to, like, original, brand new. So it's kind of messed up how they made Christine fix it and not the Minotaur, which is, like, his main purpose.
He's like a blacksmith.
Yeah.
Interesting. Third note, I'm almost done. We talked about Everything Everywhere All at Once, released around the time, a movie about the IRS released around the time that taxes were due. This movie about Wanda being a villain released the weekend of Mother's Day.
Wow.
Very interesting fact.
They know what they're doing.
Exactly what they're doing. And fourth note, not related to the movie. I know you missed it. I just wanted to say I really enjoyed the Avatar trailer. And that's it. That's all I have to say on my side notes.
Unfortunately, I did miss the Avatar trailer. But I think it's on YouTube now for anyone that wants to see that.
It is. It was just released today.
Okay. Well, we are close to running up our time, but we would love to find a way to wrap up. And let's say, what would you give this movie out of 5 tickets?
So in our original instant reactions video, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Like I said, I had a good time. It was visually striking, but some of the screenwriting fell a little bit short for me. I felt a little all over the place at times. But if you like Marvel, you should go see it. You might not love it, but it's definitely still worth seeing, especially in theaters. But I think I was a little bit generous with my score. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5, but I still recommend it. 3 out of 5.
Not bad, not bad. I would have to give it a solid 3.5 out of 5. I know if anyone listened to this all the way through, you would assume I would give it a 1 with all the problems that I had with it. But I still love this character. I've always loved this character since before the MCU was a thing, even back in the video games on the GameCube. I always loved playing as Doctor Strange. So I have to give it to that as part of my score. Like, I just felt that it was really cool to see him again on the big screen. I felt like, you know, giving him his individual time was really beautiful. I do admire the kindleship between Christine and Doctor Strange. I believe that was a very well smart move of, you know, getting her over with. Like, you know, she's married now, you know, move on. So I love that they did that to him, you know, made him deal with his grief. That's what a lot of Phase 4 is to me. A lot of people fighting their internal struggles. You know, Wanda in WandaVision, she struggled with grief. And Moon Knight, for those who've seen it, he struggled with anxiety, with depression, personality disorder. And you have now Doctor Strange dealing with, you know, probably also slightly depression of his, you know, love interest finally gone.
That line, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that line, "Are you happy?" Great line in the movie.
Yeah. And that the main focus of it all, which, you know, which was beautiful. But yeah, with all that being said, I give it a solid 3.5 out of 5. Like Santi said, go watch this movie. You're gonna come out of it feeling like it was a good movie, not a waste of money, not a waste of time, but at the same time, could have been a little better.
Could have been a lot more. Yeah,
that's all we got to say. But we'll wrap up. We're sorry for all of you who stuck around through my nerdy rants and my MCU history, books that I presented to all of you, but we appreciate you listening. Yeah, hopefully you learned something.
I did. I learned a lot. like I said, I watch all the Marvel movies, but I'm not really as in tune with the comics or anything like that. So I definitely learned a lot, Andrew.
Can't wait till we talk about this again when Thor: Love and Thunder comes out.
Is that next? When's that coming out?
Oh, that's not until end of June, I think. So we got some time.
Oh, that's sooner than I thought. That's about a month and a half from now.
Yeah, which I love the pace that Marvel's going at releasing these films.
Yeah, I wish there'd be a little bit less with I miss the days of like one movie a year, maybe two.
I think nowadays people will have a riot if they don't get their fix.
Most likely.
But okay, thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in to our sixth episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. We hope to see you all on next week's episode.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.